Yisha Koach, everyone. We'll have a quick share. Don't worry, we'll end by 8:20 for breakfast. I wanted to share two thoughts that I had while you're putting away your filling. This is a platform or a veranda named after Aryeh Tepper. It's a short, little, brief description. He was a 1967 Sheshet Hayamim war hero. Rav Amital was very makbid that nothing in yeshiva should be named after anyone personally, because he thought that after the Holocaust, and there's so many people who perished, that it wasn't respectful to name just because someone had more money after a particular person, when so many people have to, and their memories are pulsing through this yeshiva. So if you walk around the yeshiva, you'll find it's changing a little bit, but certainly not Holocaust or war. There's no rooms named after or areas just named after Am Yisrael. But this was someone that fought a very unique battle right here in 1967. There's a description here. You obviously can't see because it's behind the clouds, but a very instrumental battle. It was an Arab garrison on that hilltop over there covered by the clouds, and he was a hero, and so this was named after him. And about 2 years ago, there was a ceremony which his family, totally chiloni, came back here. I think it was the first time in the settlement or something. It was a real Kiddush Hashem. And I was thinking about that juxtaposed to Parshas Lech Lecha, when Avram fights a war. And in many ways, it's heroic because he's intervening, as I mentioned, Wednesday night, and he is quelling a 13-year carnage and so much death, and he's fulfilling his role as Ziaf Hamon Goyim to try to lend peace and prosperity to humankind, to humanity. On the other hand, there's a certain tragedy in Avram's war that he was promised this land, yet the land isn't yet ready for the Jews to settle. Back then, Azbaritz, and history has its own pace, as we talked about yesterday in the Rosh Hashir. So he fights his major war in Eretz Yisrael, but he's basically a proxy. And he's just intervening in the war on behalf of these kings or those kings of Melech Sdom. But he doesn't really advance, in a palpable sense, Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael. So his war has, again, every metaphysically has an impact, but his war is an important war, but it doesn't really lead to Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't change his state. He still doesn't have any home. He's still being hosted by different people, by Mamre's, and he still has to beg the people of Hebron in Parshas Chayesara for a little bit of land for his wife. So it's a bit of a triumph to Parshas Lech Lecha to daven here on this porch and think about Avram, who literally, this was the pathway to Yerushalayim. So when we read about Parshas Lech Lecha and Avram walking around Eretz Yisrael, there's a high likelihood that on one of these hills, Avram voyage and passage, and he was at a point in history that he wasn't able to advance, and we're at a point of history where Baruch Hashem, we are able to. And yesterday you saw that palpably when the Chayalim came back for a day to learn. Such an exciting time to live in Jewish history, where we have Jewish Chayalim coming back and, of course, learning in yeshiva for a day. The other thing that struck me is an interesting Rashi. But I'll introduce the Rashi, being that it's Friday. I just want to discuss one Rashi with you. There's a story that one of Rav Lichtenstein's children was ill, or was giving birth, I forget what, but was in the hospital. And the entire family was gathered in the waiting room, and they were saying Tehillim furiously because it was a tricky situation. And the doctor came out, and the doctor said, Baruch Hashem, everything's fine. I think it was your daughter. Your daughter's in good health. It was deliveries. It's been, you know, Baruch Hashem, clean bill of health. And everyone in the waiting room started hugging and kissing and giving each other mazel tov and smiling. And all of a sudden, one person was missing, Rav Lichtenstein. Where was Rav Lichtenstein? He was in the corner. And he was saying Tehillim. And everyone came over and said, Abba, didn't you hear that clean bill of health? Everything's going to be all right. And he said, what? I should only say Tehillim when I need Hashem, when I'm in an ace sorrow, when I feel vulnerable. I shouldn't say Tehillim out of gratitude. Part of trying to become an Oved Hashem is trying to even out the moments in your life and find consistency. And to have that same relationship, it's really hard. But you start working at it as early as you can, and you reach it to be able to have a good day and daven the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then to have not such a great day, whether it's emotionally, psychologically, religiously, whatever, and to feel that that relationship is still intact and to use that as the baseline. So in this week's Parsha, there are two psukim. Avram builds a Mizbeach in Beit El. He first builds a Mizbeach, Ve'even Shem Mizbeach L'Hashem HaNirai Lav, And Rashi says, he builds a Mizbech because of all these promises Hashem gave him. He's so excited and so enthusiastic, he builds a Mizbech. And then he goes up north, near Shechem, near Beit El, and he builds a Mizbech there. And he calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rashi says, Nisnabe Shasidim Banav Lihikashel Shem Alavon Achan. When he reaches Shechem, Beit El, he realizes what will happen to Achan and all the great expectations upon entering Eretz Yisrael, which will be dashed by Achan's crime. So it's the same Mizbeach, but one Mizbeach, he's thrilled because of all the promises Hashem has delivered. And then the next Mizbeach, the next day, so to speak, in the text, he builds a Mizbeach and he's terrified because of Achan. And he's going through the oscillations that every human being goes through of performance and of emotion, but there's that, you return to that same point of origin, that same inner peace, that same, you have to have that ground zero, that no matter what happens in the world around you, there's an internal quiet. Now, of course, at a psychological level, that's called calm and confidence and knowing that there's, you know, that you won't be shattered and moved by the events of this world. And of course, from a religious person's standpoint, that center of gravity comes from a dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you daven v'sikin, you daven in the Beis Medrash, you miss a davening here or there. You want to try to, as best as you can, start the process of evening out your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thereby making it consistent. So, who wants a coffee before Shir? Okay, does everyone have the ability to get a coffee in the coffee room? If not, we can go to the staff room, right? I just haven't used that room in 30 years. There's coffee there. And... okay, so let's grab a coffee. Who wants to have Shir out here? Raise of hands. Out here or in the room? Out here. In the room. In the room. Okay. So we'll start Shir at, now it's ending at 8:20, so we'll start Shir at 7:19 now, so at 7:25. 7:26. Thank you.
This is the one in my other room.
No, it's my nephew.
Oh.